You can find this podcast and others at Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. Welcome to episode 30. Last episode, we mentioned the Ninth Circuit Court's recent ruling on concealed carry of firearms in California. Yeah, this is where the court ruled that California's restrictive carry laws are unconstitutional. This was just a couple weeks ago. This ruling, folks, probably measures on the Richter scale. Well, it's kind of an appropriate analogy, too, given we're talking about California here. But seriously, though, California's had one of the most restrictive legal regimes for firearms carry, well, not to mention ownership, in the country for a long time now. This is serious business, folks, so I wanted to do as much homework on this as I possibly could. Would you believe I actually read the whole ruling? Uh-huh. The entire thing. Well, hey, we were snowed in anyway out here, so why not use the time wisely? 77 pages long. Well, that's just the main ruling. Then there's the dissenting opinion, which is another 50-something. That's a lot of reading, yeah. But it was worth it. This is earth-shattering enough of a ruling to where I thought we ought to explore it a bit more. I'm still amazed they actually did it. I'm pleased, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, I'm kind of surprised at it. Sure. So, this thing deserved to be read from top to bottom. And, as you might expect, I noticed a few things about that ruling. The first, they did consider self-defense as a valid reason for bearing arms in accordance with the Supreme Court's D.C. versus Heller ruling. Hey, pretty good. However, they also interpreted that ruling as not necessarily including resistance against government tyranny. Apparently, to them, that's separate. Remember those folks who got their guns confiscated by the New Orleans Police Department after Hurricane Katrina? Oh, at gunpoint, no less. I wonder how those folks would respond to that idea. Well, anyway, let's continue. The second. The court also said that states can, in fact, choose which form of carry is permissible, either opened or concealed, so long as it doesn't ban both of them. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. I never knew that before. But it turns out this is based on several 19th century judicial readings. See, back then, concealed carry was pretty often viewed as basically cowardly, prone to assassinations, ungentlemanly, that kind of thing in some jurisdictions. That was also back in the day, of course, when people were basically expected to, fight fair. Nowadays, of course, things are a little different. We talk about fighting fair nowadays as an old relic of a bygone era. You know, like my dad's told me for years, son, the only fair fight is the fight you lose, and today that means you might get yourself killed. Ain't no gentlemanliness left when it comes to fighting. So that's out nowadays. Today, carrying concealed is, rather, done simply to be discreet and not freak people out. I've carried openly on a few occasions, sure, in accordance with Virginia law. Of course I have. And what I've found when doing that is a lot of people get scared of that gun. I saw the looks on their faces. Kind of like, oh my God, he's got a gun. Why's he got a gun? It's just better, I think, to go ahead and conceal it. You know, more out of consideration for other folks. Now, if you're in certain parts of, Texas or Arizona or Nevada, where that's done on a regular basis, then hey, no problem, go for it. But in a city like, say, Richmond, Virginia, well, they're just not used to that out there, so better just to be discreet. Now, back to this, you can ban either open carry or concealed carry, but not both business. Yeah. This ruling here is really ironic to me, I gotta tell you. I'm actually reveling in the delicious irony of this. You know why? Because up until 2013 it was, yeah. You could do what was called unloaded open carry in California. You could do that. We saw some pro-Second Amendment activists doing just that. They'd strap on their unloaded firearms, you know, generally handguns because it's easier to carry, in their holsters, by the way, with a couple of fully stocked magazines. Then they'd get together at the local Starbucks or other coffee house or restaurant or wherever they wanted to meet up. Or they'd just go about their other business, you know, strolling down the street, you know, la-di-da, lollygagging, not messing with anyone, just minding their own business. Well, the California legislature decided to ban this kind of open carry for handguns. So, what these modern-day open carriers did was they took a cue from the Black Panthers in the 1960s and switched to long guns, meaning rifles and shotguns. Yep. California legislature didn't like that either, so they banned that too for the long guns. Uh-huh. You know, for the children and so people will feel safe. Yeah, it's true. As of January 2013, you can no longer open carry any sort of firearm unless you're a government agent like police and such. So, open carry's banned to Californians. Well, apparently the California State Legislature and Governor Moonbeam didn't realize the secondary effect in a court case like this one. Since California bans open carry, and effectively bans concealed carry as well, unless you're buddies with the sheriff, that's what shot down the state's case. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Ninth Circuit said you can ban either open carry or concealed carry, but not both. California effectively banned both. Whoops. So, in a way, the antis ended up, well, kind of shooting themselves in the foot. Yeah, pun intended. And now, the state government officials have a difficult choice to make. Remember, they've invested all this political capital, you know, press releases and all that, on banning guns. So either one of these choices now is about as tasty to them as castor oil. Here's what they got to do. Now, they need to either allow open carry again or turn California into a shall-issue state for concealed carry. Oh, boy, I'd really love to be a fly on the wall during those discussions. Woohoo! Such delicious irony. Now, what would I like to see happen? Well, I'd personally would like California to take a cue from their northern, enviro-greeny-weeny, spotted-owl-loving neighbor, you know, Washington State, where both are allowed, both types of carry are allowed, open and concealed. But if I had to choose one, well, I'd elect for shall-issue concealed carry, just to be discreet. It's like I talked about just before. Besides, you know, consider, the bad guys, trademark, don't need to know if you're carrying. They don't need to know where your gun is, and they shouldn't. Gives you the element of surprise if you get attacked. Remember, you're the law abider, not the perp. So, yes, you, the law abider, should have that legally sanctioned advantage against perps. Yes. Now remember, we mentioned last time how the Ninth Circuit agrees with the Seventh Circuit, but disagrees with the Second, Third, and Fourth Circuits. Uh-huh. The Ninth Circuit chose to address that issue. Basically, they said the Second, Third, and Fourth Circuits were wrong. Yeah. And why were they wrong? Because they didn't do a historical analysis of what the Second Amendment meant in its historical context. In other words, they didn't go back to the source. Instead, well, here's an example of what they did. I'll pick on the Third Circuit here this time because I really don't like New Jersey's laws. The Third Circuit basically cited current New Jersey law, kind of circular logic there, and a bunch of 20th century legal analysis and developments. Folks, that's called deferring to the legislature, and it's also called interest balancing. Two problems with that. First, citing 20th century developments just don't cut it when you're talking about something written in the late, I don't know, what was it, 1700s, folks. Yeah, you know, the 1787, 1791. So, yeah, 20th century developments don't cut it for describing what that meant. Second, if we deferred to the legislatures and balanced interests, like the Third Circuit seems to like to do, we'd still have Jim Crow today. You know, separate and unequal. Remember, the Constitution takes certain policy options, what did we say last time? Off the table. Basically, the Third Circuit got lazy and didn't do their homework enough like the U.S. Supreme Court said they should, and the Ninth Circuit called them out on it. Said, hey, next time do your homework better. Same with the Second and Fourth Circuits, too. Do your homework better next time. After reading this ruling, now I got no doubt at all that this one's headed for the Supreme Court. It's gotta go there. We've got three circuit courts saying one thing and two others saying another thing. Things just got a lot more interesting, haven't they? Woohoo! We'll be right back after a quick station ID break, so stay tuned.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership, gunrightsradio.com.
Okay, we're back. Remember I mentioned something about how the Antis are going to be gnashing their teeth about this Ninth Circuit ruling? Huh, sure enough, they haven't disappointed yet. They've already started telling, well, what I'd call butt-naked lies. Let's look at a few of these little gems from this group calling themselves
the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence.
Oh, boy. Anyway, here's the first one.
Yesterday, two conservative judges issued a decision that could potentially undermine a decades-old law allowing law enforcement to have discretion over who is allowed to carry a hidden loaded gun in public.
Oh, two conservative judges, they say. Oh, and that's in bold print, too. Yeah, they pointed out conservative, only when the ruling didn't go the way they wanted. Okay, apparently they don't like conservatives. Got it. Clearly, these antis here are a bunch of progressives. Kind of like the Code Pink folks, you know? By the way, their statement here is just chock full of red herrings here, folks. Not to mention one out-and-out lie. What, are they saying that conservatives are the only ones capable of actually reading the Constitution on Second Amendment matters? I doubt that's what they have in mind, but that's what they're telling me here. Well, here's another red herring. This bit about a decades-old law. So what? That don't make it right. I would remind these oh-so-progressive-minded folks that slavery and Jim Crow were also decades-old laws, also called reasonable in their day. Yeah. Would these antis refer to Brown versus Board of Education in a similar matter? You know, undermining a decades-old law. I'd like somebody to call them out on that publicly. See what their answer is. Here's the third failure in that particular statement, and this one's not just a lie, but it sounds like old Sheriff Joe Arpaio there in Arizona. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Let's see here. Let's take a look at this. Let's see here.
Allowing law enforcement to have discretion over who is allowed to carry a hidden loaded gun in public.
Oh, jeez. Do they really hate brown folks that much? Do they really hate my dad that much? How about me? I ain't 100% white either. Good moral character, folks, has traditionally meant white and either politically connected or filthy rich. Well, I guess only Rosie O'Donnell and Dianne Feinstein are okay in the minds of the antis, huh? Do they even understand why the Mulford Act came into being and who signed off on it? Wow. I guess it ain't just old Sheriff Joe, but also Ronald Reagan these progressives identify with, huh? Two conservatives. Someone should tell them that. I wonder what they think about those conservative judges then. Oh, and now let's get to the lie itself. I live in a shall-issue state. Guess what, people? Law enforcement already has discretion in a shall-issue state over who gets a concealed handgun permit. Yes, they do. If you're a prohibited person, meaning someone with a felony rap, or you're adjudicated mentally ill, you ain't getting a carry permit. It ain't going to happen. You're not even allowed to possess a gun, much less carry one, so the discretion's already there. What the antis want isn't discretion. It's favoritism. And like Jim Crow taught us, favoritism has no place in our laws. Okay, that was fun destroying that first little gem of theirs. Let's move on to the second little gem. This one's a two-parter, by the way. We'll take part one first.
In fact, cases challenging similar May issue systems in New York, Maryland, and New Jersey have been rejected by three different federal appellate courts.
Oh, this one's halfway true anyway. They're referring to the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Circuit Courts, actually. However, they conveniently failed to mention something else, and that would be that the 7th Circuit had already ruled similarly to the 9th Circuit's recent ruling. Whoops! That's called a lie of omission. Let's continue.
In yesterday's decision, however, two judges on a three-judge panel of the 9th Circuit decided that California's good cause requirement must be interpreted to allow anyone who claims a general desire for personal self-defense in public to be issued a permit, contrary to other circuits' decisions on this issue.
Again, only half right. They ignored the 7th Circuit's ruling yet again. Wow. Their lies and straw men sure are easy to knock down, aren't they? Well, we'll take a quick break here to identify the station, and we'll continue with little gem number 3. Stay tuned.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
Okay, we're back. Now, let's get to that third little gem from this so-called Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence.
The two-judge majority in the Peruta case, instead, adopted a radical theory proposed by the gun lobby that invalidates almost any law that burdens Second Amendment rights at all, regardless of the law's public safety benefits.
Bullcrap. This is yet another lie. Or rather, a restatement of a lie they've already spouted before. Again, the court explicitly stated in the ruling that laws preventing criminals and the mentally ill from getting guns are very constitutional. I don't know. I guess the antis think that if they repeat something enough and if they're loud and shrill enough, they'll get favorable press. Unfortunately, with a lot of the press corps, that seems to be true when it comes to our civil rights under the Second Amendment anyway. Yeah, unfortunately, it's true. Here's a little something from CNN talking about it. I'll give you a little context beforehand. Apparently, this was a case where an Ohio police officer, a fellow named Bobby Cutts, had murdered his pregnant girlfriend, Jesse Davis. A horrible, disgusting crime, no question about it. And since you can't see the video, they start out by showing what looks like the accused in a lineup. Here we go.
Another big risk factor we find is men who are gun owners as being particularly dangerous in these cases.
And we have some statistics now that I'd like to put up on the screen, Pat, for you to analyze. And this looks at how pregnant women are killed. And as Jacqueline just said, firearms right at the top of the list. Since that is the case, are most of these crimes in some way linked to premeditation? Got to go out and buy a gun if you don't have one already.
I would say not necessarily in the way we would think. I mean, most psychopaths, when they're manipulating people, they're always premeditating what they like and what they don't like. So it's not something they necessarily do way ahead of time. But before that actual event happens, they've probably gone through it in their minds. In other words, you don't do something you've never thought about. But psychopaths are also fascinated by weapons. I mean, they like the power and control that come with weapons. So if you're hooking up with a guy who's really into a big gun collection or really into those ninja knives, it's a big red flag. He's not doing yoga. You know, this is a guy who's not looking for the peaceful way out. He's looking for the power and control he gets. And if he loses it with you and he loses it in his life, he may just eliminate you to get that power and control back.
You all have done a fascinating job of putting all of these together. Jacqueline Campbell, Dr. Yale.
Turns out there's a transcript of this whole show, so I read it to see if this clip was, you know, taken out of context. Unfortunately, no, it wasn't. This whole section of the show had the same tone to it. Yeah. Any man who owns guns, any man that owns guns at all, they're automatically dangerous, huh? Wow. Talk about an overreach. Folks, a gun wasn't even involved in the murder. It was a case of strangulation. Oh, on top of it, dude was a cop, a police officer. You know, only the police and military need guns. Well, he was a cop. Yeah. And he didn't even use his gun. That's right. But apparently none of that matters. Facts like that don't matter to the antis. Uh-uh. Too many people in the press are right with them, too. They'll fawn over all over the antis, you know, have them on their TV shows like you just heard. And they help to demonize us lawful, responsible gun owners. Especially, apparently, if we're men. Lies, distortions, and sweeping accusations just seem to be fair game for these TV hosts, as long as you're an anti. That's a big part of why I do this podcast, and why we're discussing this Ninth Circuit court case the way we are. You won't hear CNN or NBC or CBS or the San Francisco Chronicle, the LA Times, talking about it like you're hearing right now. Uh-uh. You're used to hearing our conservative brothers and sisters point out inconsistencies like what I'm sharing with you here. But a whole lot of people out there have never heard an avowed, proud liberal like me say these things too. Well, folks, I am a liberal, and I am saying it, because I did read that entire Ninth Circuit ruling. I don't see Ronald Reagan in that ruling. And I don't see Bill or Hillary Clinton in there either. Uh-uh. Tell you who I do see. I see Thomas Jefferson, George Mason. I see Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Eleanor Roosevelt. I see Chief Justice Earl Warren. I see my grandpa on my dad's side. He definitely believed in self-defense. That's who I see in that ruling. Matter of fact, speaking of the great abolitionist, Mr. Frederick Douglass, here's what he had to say on this subject back in 1867, just 2 years after the Civil War.
A man's rights rest in three boxes: the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box.
Yep, he said that. The cartridge box. This, it turns out, is an early version of the so-called four boxes of liberty that people use today. Oh, there's more to Mr. Douglass's statement, by the way. Let's continue.
Let no man be kept from the ballot box because of his color. Let no woman be kept from the ballot box because of her sex.
Couldn't agree more, Mr. Douglass. 100%. Keep neither from the ballot box. And to do that, both man and woman need ready access to that cartridge box. You know who I see in the antis? Oh, and in the dissenting judge on that three-judge Ninth Circuit panel? I don't see Frederick Douglass, that's for sure. I don't see my grandpa on my dad's side either. Rather, I see my grandfather on my mom's side. Let me tell you a little bit about this guy. He was a total bigot, total racist, who hated anything black, or at least not white. He supported the Mulford Act, heart and soul. He was in California at the time. The family was in California, at least my mom's side was. He hated the Black Panthers with a passion, too. He even engaged in violence against, and I quote, nigger lovers. Yeah. He never even wanted to meet me, his own grandson. Yeah, he and I never met, because I was tainted with nigger blood. Pardon the expression, but that's how I viewed it. That's who I see in the antis and their attitudes, too. Oh, you think that's unreasonable? I don't. Hey, just ask my dad. He'll tell you. And that, my fellow liberals, is why we can never let the antis win. We can't even give them an inch. I won't. And now you know my reasons why. Well, some of them. Bet you haven't heard this perspective very much, have you? This kind of liberal perspective. That's why we have this podcast. You may agree, you may not agree, but at least finally you're getting the perspective. Take a break for station ID. We've done enough legal talk here for the moment. So, when we come back, we'll get into guns, specifically AR platforms, but from a slightly different perspective. We'll be back!
This podcast is supported from donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. We welcome one-time donations or $2 a month subscription to help support this podcast and Gun Rights Radio Network in its effort to bring you the high-quality pro-Second Amendment podcasts. Every dollar you donate goes directly back into the network. So visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the donation button. We accept all types of credit cards and PayPal accounts are not required. Gunrightsradio.com.
We're back. And it's time to talk about ARs. Yeah, short for Armalite Rifle. Seems kind of appropriate, actually, that we talk about the evil black rifle. Given what we were just discussing. A lot of you are thinking about getting one of these ARs. Hey, great. Then this section is for you. But I'd like to take it from a slightly different perspective this time. Most people talk about the AR-15 and what you can do with it, how you can customize it, make it short barrel, long barrel, make it as tactical as you want, you know, various buttstock options, etc., etc., etc. And all of that's true. AR-15s are said to be basically, well, Barbie for guys, and I gotta admit, it's true. Seriously, you can accessorize these things like crazy. Aftermarket parts for AR-15s are all over the place. Heck, you can, well, you could even get them in pink if you want. Uh-huh, yeah. Matter of fact, one California woman has a pink Hello Kitty edition AR-15 that her husband built for her a few years ago. Yeah, she's got the evil pink tactical rifle. It's great. But that's kind of the point, though. Everyone talks about AR-15s. So, I'd like to offer a slightly different variant for your consideration. We all know the AR-15 comes in the standard 5.56 NATO round, also known as 223 Remington. Yes, I know 223 and 5.56 are slightly different for all you nitpickers, but unless we're talking about a custom job, I don't know an AR-15 that's made that doesn't take both. So, for the purposes of this particular discussion, just go with me here, they're the same. Did you also know, though, there's another variant of that rifle called the AR-10? Yeah. This variant of the evil black rifle is chambered for the 308 Winchester, also known as the 7.62 NATO. Yep, bigger round with more power. But why? Here's why. Versatility. The AR-10, meaning the one that can take the 308 Winchester, turns out to be a lot more useful, generally speaking. Can you defend yourself with it? Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, the 308 Winchester is one of the standard sniper rounds for the military and police. So, yeah, you can defend yourself with it if you need to. They sure do. Also, the 308 Winchester is an excellent hunting round. It'll put down deer, black bear, even elk, assuming the shooter does his or her part. Well, goodness, you can even take groundhogs with it, a little game. And by the way, the 308's a very accurate round. Just ask the folks who go to Camp Perry for the national matches. They'll tell you real quick. Oh, and for those who are saying, oh, it's not legitimate to go hunting, deer hunting with an AR-10, you don't need an AR to kill a deer. Horse hockey. It is perfectly legitimate to go hunting with an AR-10. Absolutely. But the versatility goes even further. Remember, the AR-10 is an Armalite pattern rifle, just like any other AR. That means, like any other AR, you can swap uppers and even barrels. Now, the 308 Winchester does have more kick than a 5.56. That is true. Well, anything but a 22 has more kick than a 5.56 in this kind of rifle. Yeah, but the AR in 308 really isn't bad at all. There's a buddy's wife that loves her husband's AR-10. She's basically appropriated it. The woman is maybe 5'2" and possibly 105 pounds dripping wet. She loves the AR-10. She can easily handle the recoil. I can tell you from experience the same thing, because I've shot them too. That said, say you have kids. You're teaching them how to shoot, and it's deer season. You want something a little lighter than that 308 Winchester round, but still want to take your kids deer hunting? No problem. Get a 243 Winchester barrel and go have fun. Your kids will love it. Oh, you want to use a 223 caliber anyway with that AR-10 and go, oh, we'll say prairie dog hunting with it? No problem. Just get a barrel in 22-250. Nighty-night, prairie dogs. How about those of you who love that 7mm 08? That's a heck of a deer round, too, by the way. Again, no problem. Just swap barrels. That's all you got to do. It's an AR. It's easy to swap barrels. I had to do it in the Air Force basic training on a special assignment, so I know it's easy. To get that kind of bigger bullet versatility out of an AR-15, like, say, your 7mm, your 243s, your 30 cals, and so on, you're looking at either very expensive ammo that's not always available, or you're going to go wildcatting. Personally, I'd rather be out on the range than forming brass for my wildcats. And 308 Winchester is available everywhere. Any store carries 223, it's going to carry 308 as well. So, you not only get your 22 caliber performance like an AR-15, well, actually a little better, the 22-250 is even faster, but you also get the full-blown 308 Winchester power for when you need it. Oh, you say you want to go bigger than 30 cal, huh? Ah, I want to go the other direction, do you? Sure, we can do that too. No problem. Just get a barrel in 338 Federal or 358 Winchester and bada-bing, problem solved. Heck, if you don't mind a little wildcatting, just fireform that 308 Winchester out to 44 caliber and you've got pretty much the rimless version of the 444 Marlin. Hey, how do you think they got the 44 Automag back in the day? Came from the 308. Think of this as the, well, improved version of the 44 Automag, but out of a semi-auto AR-style rifle with a rifle round's power. Wild hogs, look out. Night-night, piglet. But now, of course, what's the downside? Yeah, what's the downside of going with an AR-10 instead of an AR-15? You know there's always got to be a downside, right? Nothing for free, right? Well, the rifles do cost more money. That's true. Economies of scale and all that. Got to remember, the military buys AR-15s, and specifically the full-auto M16 variant, and they buy a lot of them. So mil-spec parts for AR-15s are all over the place. Probably go to your local hardware store and get them in a lot of places in the country. Market's flooded with AR-15s. Not so much with AR-10s, though, because the military doesn't buy those. Also, magazines are a little bit more money. Not saying they're like, you know, super expensive. No, far from it. You can get Magpul magazines for, what, $20? And they're good magazines, too. Magpul's always made a good product. But AR-15 magazines, you know, during normal, non, oh my God, I got to buy them now, rush kind of times, you can get those for about $13. Finally, not as many companies make AR-10s. Now, everybody and their mother makes an AR-15, but not as many companies make AR-10s. There's two types, basically. There's the one made by Armalite Incorporated, which is the original manufacturer, the original inventor. And there's the one made by DPMS. DPMS's variant is called the LR-308. You know how you can swap any parts between mil-spec AR-15s and everything will just work? Well, there is no mil-spec for AR-10s, so the two companies do kind of go their own way. Not all the parts interchange between Armalite-made AR-10s and the DPMS-made LR-308s. A lot of parts do, but not quite all of them. But so what? H&K G3s don't interchange with FN Falls either, but both types are still good rifles. People still buy them in droves. So don't let that stop you. It looks to me like the aftermarket's a little more supportive of the DPMS style, the LR-308 style. So that's probably the better choice, just from a parts availability consideration. Also, you can get into a DPMS for way less than an Armalite. I've seen DPMSs with Picatinny rails waiting for optics going for just under $1,100. That ain't bad for that kind of rifle. Now, as always, you're not going to hear me talking about a gun that I haven't spent some quality time with myself first. It is true that I don't personally own an AR-type rifle. No, I don't need to. So many of my friends have them. That's how I've been able to spend so much quality time with them. And guess what? That includes the AR-10 type. Remember, I still occasionally work for a gun store, and I take apart ours and put it back together and see the wear on it, too. If I were going to own an AR myself, it'd definitely be the 308 Winchester variety. The versatility is just too good to ignore, so do give it some consideration. And whatever you do, always stand up for your right to have these in the first place. Remember, the Second Amendment was never about hunting or sport like they like to say. No. It's always been about the ability to defend yourself. There's a guy I know, an immigrant from Germany. He goes by the handle Haas over on the Ammosmith forums. Well, like you'd expect with German schools, he grew up learning about the horrors of the Holocaust. Of course he did. He lives here in the U.S. now. His advice to us is, make no mistake, the only reason they want to take your guns is so that they can do things to you that they couldn't if you keep your guns. My grandpa and my dad would certainly agree with that. And the Black Panthers of the 1960s proved it. This is Cowboy T signing off. Till next time. Till then, safe shooting, practice often, and thanks for listening.